This morning, I think there's a VBS rising up within us. A lot of energy there. Wow, it's amazing the memories that go along with songs, isn't it, from important times in our life. We'll do more of that along the way. Many of you know, about a year and a half ago, I was in Tanzania, in Shirati. And Kervin Buchan spent, I believe, 3 years in Shirati, is that right? Back in your 20s. And others of you maybe have been to Shirati, Tanzania as well. I've always known that Shirati was beside Lake Victoria, and in my mind, I always imagined the little village right beside the lake. And when I got to Shirati, I was saying, "Where's the lake?" And they had to point out that it wasn't as close to the village of Shirati as I thought. It's actually a mile and a half. I'm not sure what the distance away. It's not right beside it. So after we were done with we went for an ordination of five bishops. It was an incredible church event with people from all over the country. But we were getting ready to leave the town, and I said, "I haven't seen the lake yet." And the other people who were with me said, "Yeah, we haven't either. Let's go see this lake, Victoria. It's this incredibly beautiful place." And someone who lived locally gave us a little advice. They said, "If you don't have someone to show you the way to the lake, you'll never find it." And I said, "Well, I can actually see it way out there. Can't I just follow a road?" They said, "Well, you never know where these roads go. You'll be on a road you think's heading to the lake, and all of a sudden veers off some other direction. You better get someone to help you." And so one of the people who I was with, his name is Noah, he didn't live in Shirati, but he had lived in another part of Tanzania. He said, "Here's what we'll do. This is how we do in Africa." He said, "You find one of these little motorcycle taxi drivers, and they're all over Africa. You want to go somewhere in a taxi, you get a motorcycle, sometimes they'll put a helmet on your head and you ride along and you go where they'll take you somewhere." Well, he said, "What we can do is hire this guy and we'll just follow him to the lake." That's what we did. So we followed in our vehicle and this motorcycle went on ahead of us, and we found out just how complicated that road was to the lake. We got to the lake, and while we were there, it was just an incredible experience to be there at that lake there. But we followed pathways that had been established by people of that village over hundreds and hundreds of years, probably longer than that. Well-worn paths established by hungry and thirsty people. People who went to the lake for water, for all kinds of purposes. People who went to the lake for fish. Pathways established by hungry and thirsty people who went to the water for life. The Psalms are pathways to the heart of God. Established, written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by people like David and others who were hungry and thirsty for God. The Psalms are pathways to the heart of God. The Psalms are precious to us when we don't know how to pray. You can join your voice with the voice of the Psalms. These are tried and true places, pathways to the heart of God. This one book that I've been reading on the Psalms by this guy named Lynn Anderson, he talks about how he said he was preparing a series of teaching on the Psalms, and it drove him into the Psalms in a very in-depth kind of way, where he was reading five Psalms every day, and going deeply into them, not just reading them, but delving into them, immersing himself in these Psalms. And over this period of time, he also memorized one Psalm every month. And he said the process of doing this, it shaped him profoundly that he has continued this throughout his life. The Psalms teach us how to pray. They teach us the attitudes of the heart. They are pathways to the heart of God, written by people who are hungry and thirsty for God. Here's another way you might want to think about it. Some of you may have seen the movie Finding Forrester. Anybody know that movie, Finding Forrester? It's an old movie. It's a movie, to make a long story short, it's about this young man who lives in the Bronx of New York City. All his friends play basketball, and he likes to play basketball too, but he has this gift for writing. And he nurtures this gift. He writes, but he doesn't tell anybody. But one day he becomes acquainted. He develops this friendship with this old man who happens to have been a legendary writer. This old man and this young man there in the Bronx become friends. And the old man mentors the young man in writing. And one of the ways he does this is he takes one of his essays that he wrote many years ago, a classic piece of writing. It's an award-winning piece. And he gives it to the young man, and he says, sit down on my typewriter, back when they had typewriters. Some of you don't know what these are. Sit at this typewriter, and you write my words. And you just keep writing them until they become your own. And so the young man, at first he's just writing word for word the words of the legendary writer. But as he picks up the rhythm, the heart, the syntax, the ways of this master writer, eventually the words become his own, and he finds his own voice, learning from the master. That's one of the ways we can understand the Psalms. When you pray the Psalms, especially when you don't know how to pray, you're in life circumstances you've never been in before, and you pray the Psalms, you pray it until it becomes your own, until you find your own voice before God. Such a gift to be able to travel these pathways. You know, one of the Psalms, it says these people are traveling to Jerusalem to worship God. And they pass through the valley of bitterness and sorrow. But then they're near to Jerusalem, and they come to the place of the fall rains, and they receive refreshment and nourishment. That's the invitation to each and every one of us, and your experiences of bitterness. We all have them. And God has promised when you travel the pathway to the heart of God, there will be these pools of refreshing rain to nurture your soul. Walter Brueggemann, he talks about three categories into which you can put Psalms. And there are three categories in which we experience life. And the first one is this one, securely oriented. That's when I love to live my life at this place. We all do. If only life were always this way. We are securely oriented. Life is good. God is good. You are faithful and you are rewarded with good things in your life. And you can praise God in a way that feels authentic and real because you see God's answers to your prayers. Things feel just and right and as they are supposed to be. But that's not always how life is it? And one of the real lies we can fall into is this belief that if you're really a Christian and if you're really being faithful and if you're really living right before God and if God is truly pleased with you, then life will always feel securely oriented. It's one part of life, but it certainly is not the entirety of our experience. But you can look through the Psalms and you can find places that are speaking to God out of this place of being securely oriented. Psalm 66, you don't have to turn there, but listen to this. This is from this place of being securely oriented. Shout for joy to the God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, how awesome his awesome deeds for mankind. That's coming from a place of being securely oriented. That's a place where we all need to be and go. But there's also the experiences, and actually many more of the Psalms come from this next place, being painfully disoriented. Being painfully disoriented. And if you look through the Psalms, you will see many, many, many Psalms from David and others coming from this place where life does not make sense. Life is hard. You know, I could name a dozen people in this congregation who have had perhaps ongoing health challenges where you find yourself saying, God, how long? How long? Where are you, God? We pray for healing. Where is it? Or maybe you have ongoing relationship struggles. Maybe you haven't even shared with other people. You say, God, when will you fix this situation? How long, oh God? I've been faithful to you. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? That's this place of being painfully disoriented. Let me just read you very briefly some Psalm 69. Here's what that sounds like. Listen to this. Save me, oh God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there's no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. On and on and on and on it goes. Aren't you glad that the Psalms aren't all happy Psalms? Because it gives us space and permission to be honest before God when we are at this place of being painfully disoriented. And I'm not going to take a poll here today, but I would imagine if we took a poll, at least half of you in some way would say, yeah, this is where I'm at. I experience some level of painful disorientation where life does not make sense, where God does not make sense. The Psalms give voice to that in honesty and reality. Third place, this is what Brueggemann says. There's also this in the Psalms, and I love this one. Being surprisingly reoriented, where into the chaos and the mess and the crying out to God for help, when you least expect it, you see God coming and helping to pick up the pieces and pulling things back together in ways that are surprising and beautiful. In some ways, Lori's here today, Lori Long. In some ways, that's what I think about, is what the kidney became available for Jess. And it's like, when we least expected it, this miracle happened, and we're hearing it's going well. We keep praying for her. But for me, this is this surprising reorientation when God comes into the mess and brings new life. And that's the great adventure of the Christian life, is that this is just who God is, to come into our experience and bring a reorientation. But all three of these are part of the life experience, and they all are represented fully in the Psalms. And I just encourage you, as you read the Psalms, to think about these three ways we experience life, and that God understands it all, and that there are pathways to God, to the heart of God, that come from all these different places. There's only one way to God, is through Jesus Christ. But sometimes you're at the place of everything's going great. Well, there's a pathway to God from that place. There's Psalms that give voice to it. But when you're at the place of painful disorientation, there are also tried and true pathways to God from that place as well. That God says, come to me wherever you are, whatever space you are in. I've heard people say this already. They say, you know, my feelings and my experience right now, I wonder if God's real and I can't come to church because that's my experience right now. I say, that's the place where you especially need to be with us when you're struggling. And sometimes people leave those things as a reason to stay away from God's people or to stay away from God. And God says, I welcome you, especially when you don't think I make sense. That's just the good news about God through Jesus Christ. I want to look at Psalm 3 that Dave read. And Psalm 3 begins with this question. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. It's beginning with this acknowledgement of this voice that is saying, is God really going to come to your assistance? I don't think so. What David is experiencing right here, his son Absalom is leading a rebellion against him. His son, Absalom. David has been promised by God that a member of his family is going to be on the throne forever. And here, some answer that prayer. Here his own son is leading a rebellion against him. It's a painful, painful time of painful disorientation in the life of David. It's hard to imagine how painful that must have been for him. And he's acknowledging here these voices that he hears that are saying, yeah, God's going to come to your aid. You know where I think a lot of that voice is coming from for David? It may be from other people, but I think it's coming from where? His own mind. Those are voices that are rattling around in his own brain. We all can identify that, can't we? Sometimes those voices come from the enemy, Satan himself. Sometimes they just come from our own mind, our own anxiety. Sometimes they actually come from other people. But sometimes they come from media, whatever you see out there. These voices that say, yeah, God, right. God is your defender if God exists. Those voices are there. And they rattle around in our own brain. And David's acknowledging that. You know, I think sometimes that we can learn from pop culture. There's a comedian, his name is Mark Norman, and he scoffs at God. He makes fun of people of faith. It's a large part of his comedy, is making fun of that. But I think you can learn a lot when you hear the voice of someone like that. What are they saying? What can we learn from those things people are saying out there about what it means to love God, and even if they're coming at it from a cynical point of view. And Mark Norman said this. He says, I go out in the city to take a walk, and sometimes I forget my headphones, my earbuds. And he said, that is scary. He said, my brain is a scary place. He said, I find myself plagued by thoughts of you're nothing. You call this a life? You just all these kind of anxious questions where he finds himself demeaned. He said, I found out that it's not that I like music so much, it's just I hate my own brain. So I listen to music to block out the anxious thoughts that I hear. This is coming from a very honest comedian who needs Jesus and doesn't know it. But how many of you, you don't need to raise your hands, how many of you can identify with that? That the big enemy is our own anxious thoughts that are there. I sometimes refer to Bill Johnson because I listen to him sometimes and I feel fed by him. So he shared a story about how when he was a young man, he was going through something very, very difficult where he was betrayed by a friend. And he was so wounded and hurt by that experience. He was just really young. And he was working a job in a government building, and his job was to clean the bathrooms, and he would work at night by himself. And he says he remembers how he'd be working for 5 or 10 minutes, and his brain was just, he was just being plagued and attacked and ambushed by these bitter thoughts. And so what he did was this is back before people had Bibles on their phones, right? He actually had his Bible with him while he was working. And when he was plagued by thoughts, he would go to the scriptures, and he says, I don't recommend this always as the way to hear from God, that he just would open it up and just point somewhere, and he would open the verse. He said, this is just my story. It doesn't always work like this, and it would be a verse from scripture that would just feed him right in the way he needed it. And he would go back to work. But it wasn't long, 5-10 minutes, till he couldn't think of anything else except the betrayal from his friend. He would go back to the scripture, and he would point somewhere else. And again, it was just what he needed. And he said he did it 40 or 50 times throughout that night shift. I think he got his work done. But he said it was just a way to feed on the truth of God to combat these voices that all of us deal with from time to time. Beautiful story. You know, Bill Johnson has also said this. He said, people come to him and they say, will you please pray for God's anointing on me? He said, okay, I'll do that. I'll pray for you. But I can't give you my own experience with God. He said, I've had a lifetime of journeying through difficult things and that have driven me to the scriptures, and I've drilled down. He said, I can take you all throughout the scriptures and show you places. 1976, I've dealt with this problem, and I went to the scriptures and God spoke life into me at that place. And then I experienced something in 1978, and I went to the scriptures and God ministered to me out of this well from the scriptures. And then this happened and this happened. He said, I can't give that to you. All of us need to develop our own history with God, in which as you experience the inevitable times of painful disorientation, that you come to the waters of life and God nourishes you. That you can go back through your scriptures. This is one of the ways I lament that we use phones so much for the scriptures, but where you can go through your Bible and say, ah, there's a note from 1975, if you were around then. Here's a note from 1993, if you were around then. Here's this history with God of the way God ministered to you throughout your life. God wants to develop a history with you so that you can go back to those places where you have found water before and find it again. And even say to others, here's where I found water when I really needed it. Come here and drink. It becomes part of our testimony. This rest of Psalm 3 becomes this great challenge back, this great pushback, this holy pushback to the voices of darkness. Whether those voices come from Satan directly or our own mind or other people, whatever it may be, and it's this affirmation of faith. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. Love this psalm. I call out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. Beautiful, beautiful, spirit-inspired pathway established by someone who was thirsty for God at a time of great need. David followed this pathway to find living water, and you can find it on this pathway too. Let me just talk a little bit about this whole thing of lifting up your head. I love that image. The lifter of your head. And I believe in some ways this, you know, when your head is bowed down, when circumstances are hard, when you're feeling painful disorientation in some way, and your head is bowed down, symbolically or actually literally, symbolically, your head is bowed down, you are focused on the circumstances that you are dealing with in that moment. And the present circumstances often can be incredibly overwhelming when that's all you're looking at. Your head is bowed down. And the Lord comes to you and says, lift up your head to the Eternal One. Get your mind out of 2018, and consider the One who always has been and always will be. This is beautiful perspective. Let me offer you this one. Some of us get motion sickness when we travel in a car or a plane or train or a boat, especially a boat. That's for me. It's in a boat. And what I've been told to do, and this usually works for me, when I feel motion sickness, is to raise up my head and look at the horizon. I don't read books when I ride in a car as a passenger because I get sick. Because I'm focused on what is close by and I'm not having a perspective that is far away. Now, if I sit in the car and I look off in the distance, I'm fine. But I don't read because my vantage point is too small and that motion makes me sick. I believe there's something there for us. If you are primarily focused on what you are experiencing, no matter how difficult it is in that painful disorientation, in that moment, if your head is bowed down, that movement is going to impact you in a very negative way. But when your head is lifted up, doesn't mean you're still not being shaken. That motion is still very real. Whether you're on that boat and you're going up, it's, well, I don't go deep sea fishing. that motion. But if you look to something constant in the distance, there's perspective that enables you to be sustained in that movement and rocking. Now, that doesn't work for everybody with motion sickness. But the spiritual principle is there. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. But let me tell you this. This, when it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, the hills were places of idolatry. They were places of idols. The high places were places where they worshiped idols. That the psalmist was saying, you need to look beyond the hills for help. And you need to look to the Creator God. That's where your help comes from. Let me share this story. Many, many years ago, when Jennifer and I had just become parents, Kaylee was just a baby, and we went to a financial advisor. We didn't have much money. But we wanted to, I don't know, learn a little bit about investing for our future. So we sat down with this wonderful man there in Virginia, and he got us started in some mutual funds. Not much, but a little bit. Wasn't too long after that things, the market, like it does, tanked. We saw our mutual funds cut in half. And our wonderful financial advisor sat down with us. He must have thought, boy, these two, they're just so young and naive. And he said, let me help them here. And he said, I want you to look at this chart on the wall. And he showed us this chart. If you've ever sat with a financial advisor, you know how they do. They say, look at the upward trajectory of the U.S. economy. It's always going up. There's dips. It goes up and it goes down. But the onward trajectory over a 100-year period has always been, even with the Great Depression, it's always going up. And he said, consider that and take hope. But let me offer you this. If your hope is in that, you're in trouble. You got to raise your head higher than that. I think in many ways, and it's true, it's sound financial advice, he's right, don't panic and, you know, whatever. But in many ways, that's a high place. I lift my eyes to the hills. Lift your eyes higher than the hills, higher than the U.S. economy, higher than the stock market, higher than your career, higher than your ambitions, whatever it may be, you need to lift your eyes higher than that for hope to the Eternal One. You can have all the money in the world, but if your health goes, where's your hope? You can have your hope. You experience turmoil of some kind, where's your hope going to be? Your hope must be in the Lord, the Eternal One. Lift your eyes beyond the high places of idolatry that's very subtle to the living God. That is where you look. Now, it doesn't mean you aren't going to be shaken, because that just exists in life. The psalmist says painful disorientation is a reality of life, but look to the constant one. He does not change. There is no changing with the Eternal One. He's constant. We can look to him for trust. Wherever you're at right now in your life, praise be to God, there's a pathway, always through Jesus Christ. But there are well-established pathways in the Psalms and throughout all of Scripture that you can travel upon to the heart of God. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Trust in the pathways that God has established for you to experience the heart of God. There's water. There's water for every single one of us. And I pray that blessing on each and every one of you. If you're in a place of secure orientation this morning, that's awesome. Rejoice in that. Praise God out of that place. But if you're at a place of painful disorientation in some way, take hope. The psalmist has been there, and there's pathways to God through that. And there's always the hope of this surprising reorientation that is just so part of who God is. It's just who God is. Expect it. Look for it. Long for it. Wait for it. Rejoice in it. Lord God, I pray that that would be our experience. Thank you, Jesus, that the psalmist cried out to you. Help us to be hungry and thirsty enough for you, that we will cry out to you and experience you. Thank you that this psalm says that you hear us, even though you are so much more above us and holy in ways we can't even fathom. You hear us when we cry. You give us sleep and rest. You wake us up by your grace. You are a shield around us. And you are the lifter of our head. Lord God, we need you to lift our head. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you.